Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. Today is December 21st, 2022. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with other breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Today is going to be a very special show. So I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this Canadian exchange that the owner basically died on a trip to India. And then he was the only one that had access to those private keys. Well, it looks like some of that Bitcoin moved. So what's going on there? Another lesson, of course, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. You never know what the custodians of your Bitcoin are doing behind the scenes. Of course, FTX is an example of that. Celsius is an example of that. Gemini Earn as well, right? So many examples, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. It's going to be a great show. The person who's going to be anchoring the show, though, today, because I do have to run, I have a meeting, is the legendary Optimus Fields. He's going to do a great job, like always. And, of course, we have a new member of Simply Bitcoin. We have Birds Are Not Real, also known as Paul. He's going to be doing the video essays for Simply Bitcoin. You guys are going to be seeing a lot more of those in 2023. And we have a very, very, very special guest, which I only let Opti and Paul know about literally about 5 minutes before the show started, to add a little bit of chaos, because chaos makes great entertainment and good TV. We have the host of Between Two ASICs. If you guys haven't already seen it, it's an up-and-coming Bitcoin show. It's on a lot of people's radars, and it's absolutely hilarious. He's done episodes with BTC Sessions and Peter McCormack. Do you guys remember Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis? I can't pronounce his last name, but you guys know who I'm talking about. It's like that. But instead of ferns, it's in between two ASICs. Absolutely awesome. Opti, what are we going to cover during the culture segment today?
Well, as you guys know, yesterday I was lost in the matrix. Today I have taken over my parents' kitchen, as you can see in the background. Hopefully the internet works good. And then, of course, in the culture, I'm going to touch on a theme that I've been kind of covering a lot on the culture and in the spaces. And it's the best way to orange pill people and gauging your audience. And so shouts out to Darth Coin. He gave me this cool guide. We're going to cover it a little bit and then connect it with some stuff that I saw on Twitter, and also something that we dropped on our Substack. So I think this is going to help people out there at least clearly think about how and whether you are wasting your time orange pilling the wrong person.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great show. I'm super hyped. Love you all. I'll see you tomorrow. Opti's going to take over. Let's get to numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, boys and girls, we are doing the numbers. And of course, I don't have Nico's certain numbers, but we're going to do my numbers. It's still the same numbers. The numbers don't change because you can verify them for yourself. But we are using Clark Moody's dashboard. And of course, we're at block height of 768,380. And the current Moscow time, aka the sats per dollar, is 5,950. You can still get thousands of sats for your dollar, which means the current Bitcoin price is around 16,806, according to Clark Moody's dashboard. And then, of course, I've said this in the past, and I will always say this, I think this might be one of my favorite numbers, the percentage of Bitcoin issued at 91.61%. It's amazing how Bitcoin has been distributed, and it is 91% unleashed into the world. And then this number, man, I remember when Bitcoin's market capitalization was touching $1 trillion market cap. And right now, we're still, man, it's been a rough bear market. We're at $323.3 billion. It's going to get there, guys. Number will go up. And the next one, actually, correction, I think this might be my favorite number. The realized monetary inflation, taking fiat currencies to school, like Nico says all the time, at 1.76%. And the Bitcoin versus gold market cap is at 2.67%. So if people out there don't think they're early, we still have so much room to grow in the Bitcoin space. once Bitcoin takes over the gold market cap, we still have way more room to grow from there. This is just the beginning. And then we got the Lightning total capacity, which is at 5,143.37 Bitcoin, which is in dollar terms, 86.4 million. And then the hash rate for the last 90 days is at 254.6 exahashes per second. And this last one, I remember Nika always puts this one, the reachable Bitcoin nodes. Shouts out to someone who keeps messaging me on Twitter. Apparently, Clark Moody might have the wrong numbers, but according to Clark Moody, it's at 14,902. The numbers, I haven't fully verified this, but there's a lot more out there. I will verify this for you guys, and we will give you guys that pure information. All right, guys. So, you know, this is the numbers. And I saw this debate going around. It was George Gammon and Michael Saylor. And I've only seen some of the clips, but this is something that we talk about all the time on this show. And, you know, Alex Gladstein had the perfect meme when he says that the first world, the Western world, most of our friends, I would guess, need to check their financial privilege. And if something we've seen happen in 2022 is signal to what is going to happen in the world, it is the fact that adoption in third world countries are going to catapult not only their countries, but the individuals of these countries into a prosperous future. And right now, I know all of us are here, we get the FUD all the time that Bitcoiners are just out here speculating for my fiat gains. But there's people around the world that need Bitcoin today that are using Bitcoin to escape hyperinflation fiat currencies around the world. And they're also using it for censorship resistant aspects today. This is not just how we look at it in the Western world, where we, you know, for lack of better terms, we really don't need it, quote unquote. That's how people will say, you know, our currencies aren't hyperinflating yet. But we understand the properties of Bitcoin, and we will be the pioneers of Bitcoin. And we are the ones ushering in Bitcoin for the future, for the bright orange future. So I got this clip. It's a 2-minute clip. It is George Gammon and Michael Saylor talking about this very thing, that in the Western world, we do have financial privilege, but there's people today that are using Bitcoin as intended, and this signal is continuously spreading around the world, and it will continue to spread around the world as we've seen in 2022. It's the end of the year, and I think we've seen huge, huge adoption in third world countries, and it's just so beautiful to see as a Bitcoiner. It's no longer just theory. It is actually happening, and we can see it happen in real time. So enough talk. Let's get into this clip.
Inflation rate the inflation rate of the peso versus the dollar is about 21-24% per year, 20 years running. Okay, which means that whereas in the US we've been cutting the value of your money in half every decade, in Argentina they're cutting the value of the money in half, or the currency in half, every 3 to 4 years.
Right.
Now you want the blood curdling statistic, right? Which is, that's a 24% loss per year against the dollar, and the dollar is 7% against scarce assets. So that means you're losing 31% of your purchasing power a year. If you buy into fiat currencies, if you're unlucky enough to be one of 4 billion people in a weak currency environment like Venezuela or Argentina, you're pretty much getting destroyed every 36 months. And if you're lucky enough to be in the U.S., you're just getting destroyed every 10 years.
Yep.
And so that leaves us with the question of, well, what's the solution? Okay. And George, to be clear, I agree that this is a probabilistic assessment when you live in the U.S. and you have to choose between gold, S&P indexes, real estate in Florida, and other derivatives and other contracts and Apple stock. It's a probabilistic thing, and you got to have a portfolio of you. But the interest rate in Argentina right now is 49% overnight. And the official inflation rate is probably 60, and the unofficial inflation rate is 80. And so you have a different view toward probabilistic risk when the ship is sinking and you're about to lose everything in 36 months. So I would say with regard to Bitcoin, Bitcoin is an interesting, nice to have, and an intellectual discussion for people in Western Europe and the US and the developed world with a strong currency losing 7% of its value a year. But Bitcoin represents a life raft to the billions of people in Sri Lanka and Lebanon and Turkey and Argentina and Venezuela.
Absolutely love that clip, guys. And the reason I picked this one is because I think this is a message that more people need to hear, especially my friends and family that you know, do have financial privilege. They do not understand how, first of all, money works, let alone how fiat currencies work. And when I first heard that statistic of, and Saylor's not the first one to point this out, that in the Western world, you know, we have that fiat privilege. We have the quote-unquote stability of the dollar. And even that, we lose half of our value in a decade. So like, we are continuously losing value, and most people are going in their lives and they don't even understand that they can't save in fiat currency. So I think that this is a message that we cannot repeat enough. But furthermore, to our point, that in other countries, people are using Bitcoin today to escape hyperinflation so that they do not lose value, as Saylor said, 36 months. Like, in 3 years, you are getting your currencies cut in half. Like, this is absolutely insane that the fiat currency is the status quo. And Bitcoin is the life raft. This is what we tell you guys every single day. If there's an exit door, people will use it, and people are using it today. I've said it in the past, and shouts out to my friend Alex, because he kind of incepted this idea. Like, hyper-Bitcoinization can happen today if you only interact with Bitcoiners, if you use Bitcoin to buy the products that you want, or furthermore, if you're in a third world country and you need to escape hyperinflationary regimes, if you are in a place that doesn't want you to save money, you know, use the censorship resistant, the FU money aspect of Bitcoin today. You do not have to wait for the future. It is happening in real time. Anyways, Paul, how you doing, good sir? Jump right in. What's your thoughts on this clip? What's your thoughts on what I said?
I'm doing great. I agree with everything you said on that clip. I agree with everything Saylor said. I watched the whole debate. This is personally something that I'm very passionate about that I think drew me to Bitcoin beyond like the gains when I first bought in 2017. I'm like, oh, I can make some fiat money. As I was looking at how it would change the financial landscape, and as I was looking at how it would empower people who were traditionally underempowered or, you know, disenfranchised, that's what really struck a chord with me. And this is something I talked about in the video where we were talking about eating insects and, you know, the world food market. One thing Saylor didn't mention is trade. So there's a lot of friction to trade if you don't trade in the US dollar, the euro, or the yen, or one of the other top currencies. If you're in Somalia, if you're in Zimbabwe, if you're in Russia at the current point, it's really hard to conduct trade in your local currency without a lot of friction, government restrictions, regulations. And that impedes the flow of goods. It stifles the free market. And stifling the free market always hurts the people at the bottom. It always does. They always take the shit under the stick. I'm excited about financial sovereignty from hyperinflation. I'm also excited about people in the developing world being able to conduct free trade with a currency that can't be manipulated, restricted, sanctioned, or you know, just confiscated by the government.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Absolutely agree. Tatum, turn up. What's your thoughts on the video? And have you experienced this same pushback from your friends and family?
Yeah. Bitcoin, I mean, it's an onion. And I, like Paul said, I came for number go up. And I have a degree in finance, and it's actually part of the reason that I got so into Bitcoin, because I started seeing how, oh, it's fixing all of these problems that I learned about for 4 years. And it's kind of ridiculous when you look at like how, yeah, people are still trading and trying to find the next big pump and dump. If you're doing that, by the way, screw you. But then you also have people who are using it today for goods and services because they need to. because it's easier. It's in, like, I was talking to Preston Pish about how, like, I used Noster and we were just messing around, and I was just seeing how quick can I get some Bitcoin from anyone. And I posted a Lightning invoice for 1,000 sats. No one had to approve shit. No one, I didn't even know who sent it to me, but I was like, hey, who wants to pay this? Under 30 seconds, I got instant settled 1,000 sats. I'm like, this, if that didn't show you like why it, Bitcoin could be trading at a penny if for all it matters. But if you're able to do that right there, like that's that you got it. And it's like, I don't need that, but there is plenty of people across the world that do need that. And I reading through Alex's Check Your Financial Privilege, especially in that just the opening, just like seeing what is wrong with other fiat currencies, because a lot of us have such a small mindset and perspective, like, and I'm guilty of it too. Like, I just see the US dollar, but like there's so many other currencies that are just getting completely wrecked because of corruption, because of inflation. And I mean, Bitcoin is the same across the world. So I could go on for hours, but I will stop there.
Perfect. I will just agree more.
I'll just add on to that. If anyone watching hasn't read Check Your Financial Privilege, go read it. You need to read it.
The greatest. It's probably one of the best Bitcoin books that I've seen that's past like what Bitcoin is and more of like how it's currently helping people and how it's also going to help likely you in the future.
Let's go. Yes, these are the messages that I think more people, especially, of course, in the first world, Western world, need to hear. It's like, look, guys, I know we are so used to a stable currency, but not everyone has that. And not everyone is as privileged as us when they're in this position. And this is why Bitcoin is what it is. And I know that most people don't understand what Bitcoin is. And then this is why we all do what we do to try to spread that message far and wide. All right, guys. So we are going to jump right into the culture. And it's kind of going to touch on what Tatum talked about right now as well. So let's get into this culture and we will do the do.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
Get on the mission, boys and girls. And of course, this was also brought to you guys by BitBlock Boom. We will be in Austin August 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th of next year, 2023, for BitBlock Boom. Nico and I literally met for the first time in person at BitBlock Boom. We've obviously been on the internet talking, but this is not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. You only talk about Bitcoin, you only hang out with Bitcoiners, and it's just more Bitcoin. Highly recommend that you go to BitBlock Boom. If you haven't been to any conference yet, this is one of the best out there because it's small and it's nothing but Bitcoiners. The most toxic of toxic Bitcoiners will be there. And these are the places that you want to go. I say it all the time, hanging out with Bitcoiners and just rubbing shoulders with Bitcoiners consistently literally changes your mind. Anyways, on to today's culture. So you guys know me. I've been coming on the show and doing my best to try to explain people not only that I am trying to iterate on this message and get Bitcoin as far and wide as possible, but sometimes I sit here and I bemoan about how difficult it is to orange pill people. And I forget exactly what I said on the show, but something I said on Monday, Darth Coin hit me in our Simply Bitcoin Telegram group, t.me/simplybitcoin. And he wrote this down in a Telegram post. And I told him, yo, bro, put this on your Substack and I will cover it on the show. So getting into it, first and foremost, shouts out to Darth Coin's Bitcoin Guides. Go check out his Substack, darthcoin.substack.com. And he's got all kinds of awesome guides out there. He's doing a wonderful job on the mission, spreading that Bitcoin signal. So this one was the one that I told him to put up there. And it's for who is writing guides, Darth Coin? And so some people ask why Darth is writing Bitcoin guides. And here's the answer. He dedicates it to a few of our friends, TK and Nico, and myself as well. And you can see he's always got these Bitcoin Darth Vader memes in here. But anyway, each one of us Bitcoiners that wants to onboard somebody must know first who he is talking with. Each situation must be treated in a particular way. You have to know how to present Bitcoin to other people, and don't just jump into showing technical analysis, price growing, prices of BTC on exchanges, and bullshit crap like that. Remember what I say all the time. I'm pretty sure I've said it on the show. I know I say it all the time in the spaces. I took this saying from How to Win Friends and Influences, and it's bait the hook for the fish you're trying to catch. And this isn't inferring to the idea of what shitcoiners do, and it's just straight up lying. It is understanding what is going to get someone involved in Bitcoin, what is going to win over their hearts and minds, and then angle it in that direction. You know, if someone's out there talking about, like, I can't make money, you know, it's hard for me to save, inflation, you know, the cost of living is going up, then you hit them with the 21 million hard cap. If people are talking about freedom of speech and deplatforming, then you hit them with the censorship resistant aspects of Bitcoin. There's always, or if he's a coder, you could talk about the software aspect. Like, there's so many angles of Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is something different to everyone else. But you got to understand who you're talking about. And I really like this framing that Darth Coin gave me. And here are the categories that he's been using for the last 10 years to onboard people and just like have a framework of looking at people and trying to understand exactly how he should hit people, whether that person is on the edge about to get orange pilled or whether he is wasting their time and he just satoshis them. If you don't get it, I don't have time to convince you. Sorry. Anyways, the first one, this is the first category, the totally clueless normie, but with some brains. They're easy to onboard. You tell them the right things they want to hear about Bitcoin, and they will get on Bitcoin. You always know them better before you start preaching, so you can find the right spot where they will get it. These are the vast majority of people and is where Bitcoiners should focus to educate them. And this was this category, you need more preparedness from your side. You need to know them. You got to be intimate with them. And also from their side, like, you got to be able to listen to people. Definitely listen to the person you're talking about. Never start with the technicalities with this category. You would lose them right away. I know you've experienced this. You tell people the Bitcoin facts and their eyes start glazing over and they're asking all kinds of different questions. And you're just like trying to beat them over the head with the truth. And you never get that message. You have this conversation four or five times, but then probably getting frustrated. But it's again what we try to sell the time. You're in the battle for the hearts and minds of the masses, and bait the hook for the person you're talking about. Everyone will get on Bitcoin when they are ready, but some people are more ready than others. Next category is the pre-coiners. They heard about Bitcoin from other sources, but they're quite clueless how to start and what to do, etc. They need the most help. They need good education, and they need you hand-holding. So start slowly with Bitcoin basics, how to open a wallet, how to store the seed, how to self-custody, how to buy and acquire some Bitcoin. And again, there's all kinds of resources out there to get these people on, but you know who they are. And the third is the haters. Those are the experts in economy and 100% statists that believe only in central banks and governments. Never, ever say a word to those. Fuck them. All not going to make it. This is, you know, as Bitcoiners, we definitely have compassion. We definitely want to help people. But we understand that some people are very stubborn. Some people know it all. And these people, you're better off just letting them feel the pain, letting them put their hand on the stove, and they will come back to you in time. These are the people that you guys can meme. These are the people that you have fun with, that you, you know, just hit them with the Bitcoin meme so that they will remember the day when you, that toxic Bitcoiner, told them about Bitcoin. And then when it doesn't die, they'll be like, oh yeah, remember he was talking about it. And then the next time you see him, they will either run in shame or they will humble themselves and ask you for your advice. Fourth, the clueless shitcoiner, those that were scammed because of their ignorance and not having a base knowledge, and they want to repent and want to come to the light, which is Bitcoin. These need help and guidance, but you do have limited patience with these people. So if they do not fully repent or try to go back to shitcoinery, Darth Coin says, I just fuck them. We've all experienced this point. You know, some people are quick to forget their problems, their mistakes, and they go right back to it. And these are the people that you might have to tell more than once, and you might just have to drop the Satoshi quote on them. If you don't get it, I'm sorry. I don't have the time to convince you. Again, You do not have to do anything you do not want to do personally, but we are all on the mission to try to help people. We are all trying to get more Bitcoiners into the fray, because the more Bitcoiners we have, the better we are off trying to avoid the war with the monetary demons out there. And then number five, the maxi shitcoiners. And he just says, don't waste your time with these people. They know it all. They're the smart ones. They're the, as the meme goes, the intellectual yet idiots. And they will just have to put their hand on the stove. And it is what it is. You can't help everyone, but we do our best to get everyone on board. So these five categories, these are just a way for you to think about the people you are orange pilling. But I also saw this thread. Shouts out to Hector. And it's on the same point. Like, do you ever wonder why trying to explain, persuade, or convince people about Bitcoin, why is it so challenging? And I really like this framing. He says, it's because you are the counterparty risk. And he mentions a mechanic, you know, a mechanic tells you what is wrong. You generally accept it. It's because, you know, he knows a lot about cars. But when people hear you talk about Bitcoin, you know, most people already believe they understand what money is. They, you know, they have a vacuum. There's no need to understand. There's a space and a void in their brains because they already know everything. And these are the people that we are dealing with. Most people have not taken the time to evaluate money because, as we said in the numbers, they have that financial privilege, especially where I'm from in the Western world. Everyone is so used to a stable-ish, semi-stable currency that they don't question it because we have the strong dollar. The dollar has been dominant for so long, and they're still able to save in it, so to speak. They don't have the hyperinflation of third world countries, and so they think they are safe. So when you talk about Bitcoin, it collides with their existing frame of the world. And you are the counterparty risk because essentially what you're telling them is like, everything you've known is wrong. You got to trust me, bro. Like, here are the truth and the facts. And so as he has this meme right here, is because you said so, you got to be kidding. This is the feeling that most people have. And so how do we overcome this? And it's by planting a seed of doubt, by asking them the right questions, by getting them to look at your point of view and your worldview, because it really is one worldview versus the next. And it starts with just asking the right questions. And we dropped this on our Substack. Shouts out to our writers. This is Orange Pill the World with Healthy Skepticism. You need to sow the seeds of doubt into people's minds, because at one time you believed in the fiat system, and then someone planted a seed and it bloomed into the whole rabbit hole that you've gone down. So again, the way to do this first and foremost is by planting the right seeds. You got to ask the right questions, because most people are not fully ready to unplug yet. They are just, you know, on the surface, they might know something's wrong, subconsciously understand something's wrong. But if you ask the right questions, you sow the right seeds of doubt, every no-coiner you interact with will have fertile soil and ready for planting. You just need to select the right tool. Sometimes it's ridicule. Sometimes it's a funny and a joke. Sometimes it's hitting people with the facts. And sometimes it's hitting people with the right questions. But there's another message. There's another aspect, and this might be one of the best ways. You just need to get Bitcoin into their hands. Show them how to download a wallet. Show them how to take their private seeds. But send them sats. Make them send you sats. Spend sats. Take their wallet into self custody. Their Bitcoin into self custody very quickly. I've explained to you guys the whole story. Maybe it was in Spaces where we were in Santa Monica, and our Uber driver was just getting the idea. He understood freedom of speech money, and we got him a moon wallet. And within 5 minutes, he understood, wow, Bitcoin is amazing. And this is how we will orange pill more people and get them on the mission. Anyways, I've been ranting. Paul, what is your thoughts on this? And then we'll get Tatum's thoughts on this.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. And I know we talked about this a little bit last night, Afti. And there's nothing harder than changing a fundamental belief. You know this if you've ever tried to change someone's politics. If you come at them and you're like, you're wrong, and here are 15 facts that show that your worldview is wrong, all you're going to get is resistance. That's the wrong way to do it. And I feel like Bitcoiners for a long time have been taking that path. We've been going, you know, what is money, man? And trying to explain this whole like PhD level subject in one big burst of paradigm destroying information, and that shit is just not gonna work. I like the seed metaphor. How I see this is, you're planting a seed, something big like an oak tree, but you're doing it on a sidewalk. You know, you're not doing it in a fertile field where you can just place it wherever you want. So what a lot of those bits of information told me, and what I've been trying to do, is find that crack in the sidewalk where you can plant the seed, find the place where they're already a little bit primed and where they have some of the notions or the skepticism, the healthy skepticism that might lead them to becoming fully orange-pilled, and start there. And if you plant the seed there, their whole world view will open up. And I know, because this happened to me. I think it happened to all of us. You just got to find that crack, man. Just got to find it. Meet them where they are.
Someone's gonna quote you out of context.
Please
on
do.
That one.
Please, God. Please do.
But Tatum, you are on the same mission as us as a content creator. You're out here doing this same exact thing. So what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a different, like, orange-pilling people is also an onion in itself. You have to figure out where you're at the point of diminishing returns. Because, like, I'm known as the Bitcoin guy amongst my friends. None of them are real, like, Bitcoiners. And so when I see some people, they'll ask me about, you know, how's the price doing? That's the first question. And they're like, how much should I buy? And I'm like, okay, well, all right. I think, like, you want to know, but then you start talking more and it's like, okay, I don't think they're really in it. But I mean, you got to just look at it. It's a good point that Darth Coin made. You got to look at who you're talking to, and form your approach that way. And at some point, you know, you might have to like save your own time and just, if you don't believe me or don't get it, I don't have time. Like, because it's not really, you can't force someone at the end of the day, as much as we all want to. Like, I want everyone that I love and care about to be as hardcore of a Bitcoiner as I am. But, you know, that's just not probable, at least yet. But you can plant that seed and let them know, like, why you do what you do, why you believe what you believe, and let them come around. If it's really tough, like, let them come around when they're ready. Cause I, the saying goes, everyone gets into Bitcoin at the price they deserve or something like that. And I don't necessarily think that that's completely inaccurate. Like, I mean, if you wait until it's $100,000 and now you're like, okay, maybe I should have been stacking a little earlier. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still there. You're where you need to be. But just try to, you know, maximize your time and efforts where they're able to be, you know, you can, your friends can reap the benefits of what you're planting. And I actually just had a friend who DM'd me after, I think it was right after FTX happened. Just DM me and said, congrats, you made me into a Bitcoin maxi. And I was like, all right, yes. All right. That's worth it all right there. So keep trucking, but don't waste your time where, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. We all have limited bandwidth. You know, do what you can, but at a certain point you got to understand that some people are just not ready to unplug, and it is what it is. And as Bitcoiners, I know on Twitter, you know, people do say that we try to force people's behaviors, and we're just like, man, we're just loud cheerleaders trying to explain to people to opt into this free, monetary, inclusive, and equitable system so that everyone is on an equal playing field. Anyways, Paul, we're putting you to the wolves. Let's get into the news.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
Awesome. So let's jump into the news here. And I'm going to warn you in advance, we got to go a little bit back in history here. But I promise we're going to bring it back to current events. In order to fully understand what's going on here, how it relates to Bitcoin today, how it relates to exchanges, and how it should inform your behavior as to how you treat Bitcoin in this, you know, current financial state, we need to know a little bit more about this man, Gerald Cotton. Gerald Cotton was one of the early innovators in Canada from an exchange perspective. So he created this exchange called Quadriga CTX, one of the top exchanges in Canada. Very popular if you were in there. I honestly hadn't heard much about it since wasn't in my country. It wasn't on my radar. But as I've been digging more into it, I'm seeing a lot of parallels to other things that are going on in the current day. Gerald started Quadriga in 2013, and it actually grew to be the largest Bitcoin exchange in the country, largely by nature of when he started it. So it's very early on. He started it with an early business partner, incorporated the Quadriga Corn Exchange, or Quadriga CX. It was the first Bitcoin trading platform to hold a money services business license from FinTrack, Canada's anti-money laundering authority. And I just kind of want to set the stage for you guys. This was 2013. So we had a couple of options if you're just looking from a US perspective. We had Mt. Gox. Most people know the story of Mt. Gox, the spectacular fall that exchange went through, as 70% of the global cryptocurrency exchanges in the world at that time. In the US, we also had some sort of even sketchier options than that. So Opti, do you know anything about BitInstant? Have you ever heard of that? This predates me, so this was not in my world.
I think I vaguely remember it, but this is definitely before my time.
Okay, well, let me just set the stage for you for how this worked, how you bought Bitcoin if it wasn't on Mt. Gox in like 2013, 2014. So you placed an order on BitInstant. You went to your local CVS. You picked up this red telephone here and contacted a MoneyGram associate. You told them you were trying to pay ZipZap and how much you were trying to pay them. They gave you a confirmation. You took it to the CVS cashier. In this case, this is from back in the day. This person gave them $133.95. And then your transaction was complete. So, I mean, just to normies, this was a super, super sketch situation. I mean, I honestly probably wouldn't have done this without some reservations back in the day.
This is why there was so much like pushback early on, because who wants to do this?
Exactly. And it was the fiat monetary system that was closing off the rails. That's why with Mt. Gox, you had to send a wire to Japan, which was really difficult in order to complete your transaction. It was really hard to buy Bitcoin, is the long and short of it. And Quadriga came at it with a different angle. So this is their original site pulled from the Wayback Machine here. You can see it looks very professional for a 2014, talking about the no funding or withdrawal fees, instant funding. You can pay online or in the office. Bank wires Western Union, talking about the trading fees and the trading they offer. But here's the interesting part: encrypted cold storage, two-factor authentication, collaborative security with Cloudflare. This looked really good compared to the options that were out there. So they became a really popular exchange. In fact, if we go back to what they were doing after Mt. Gox collapsed, so in about 6 weeks after Quadriga launched, Mt. Gox abruptly suspended operations, claiming that the hackers had stolen all this money. Shortly after that, a year later, Canada's largest exchange also announced its closure, blaming hackers. The second largest exchange, Vault of Satoshi, closed the same week. So from the perspective there, this, if you bought into that fiat mindset of I need a custodian, this was the place to buy your Bitcoin in Canada. So what went wrong here? Well, essentially, Cotton was running a Ponzi scheme. So let me know if any of this sounds familiar to you. Whenever people put it, their money into the exchange, he sort of used it like his personal slush fund. People were bringing duffel bags of cash to Cotton's home that he shared with Robertson, his wife at the time. And Robertson didn't think to question what was going on. The year after Robertson met Cotton, the value of cryptocurrency plummeted. And as Quadriga customers tried to remove their money from the exchange, there were long waits to access the funds. It didn't take a long time for withdrawals to become greater than Quadriga's profits. So I'm going to play you a short video now just to show you exactly what was going on here and how this Ponzi scheme unfolded, because I am seeing so many parallels to what we're going through with exchanges that shall not be named right now.
Prices crashing in 2018, investors became suspicious when their money was slow to withdraw. With almost no regulatory oversight, the illusion of Quadriga as a stable liquid company began to unravel. Then, a devastating turn. Cotton died suddenly while on a trip to India, complications with Crohn's disease. And because he was running the whole operation from his encrypted laptop, it meant the money was gone.
One man had the keys to hundreds of millions of dollars. And
it's like the CEO of a bank dies, and then you learn later that he's the only one that had access to the money and nobody else can get it. And not only that, but then when you take a closer look, you realize that he actually spent most of it and gambled it away.
So this guy was not only using customer funds to perpetrate this Ponzi, but he was also the only person who had access to any of the actual funds that they had. This is like the highest level fraud that one could perpetrate at that point in time with those sorts of resources. It's shocking. And the parallels to what we're seeing today, what we're seeing from Sam Bankman-Fried, FTX, and Alameda, are really hard to ignore. So let's dig a little bit deeper into what was happening with this so we can just fully understand. Give me a second here while I get it up. So Vancouver-based Quadriga's late founder committed fraud by opening accounts under aliases and crediting himself with fictitious currency, crypto asset balances, which he traded with unsuspecting clients. Cotton, the OSC, says that's the regulatory agency, ran into shortfalls in assets available to satisfy client withdrawals when the price of crypto assets changed. He started running a Ponzi scheme that would cover the shortfall with other clients' deposits. Now, just so everyone remembers, a Ponzi scheme is basically where you pay new investors with the investment of old investors. As long as people keep investing, everything's good. When everything falls down, everything goes to hell. Quadriga did not consider its business to involve securities trading and did not register with any securities regulator. The lack of regulation facilitated Cotton's ability to commit large-scale fraud without detection. Okay, ancient history. Cool, right? How does this affect us today? And this is where we get to some of the new info. So as of yesterday, it was reported that these Bitcoin that were locked in a wallet that everyone thought were inaccessible, a gift to the network, started to move. In fact, if we look here, we see that nearly 70 BTC were sent to Wasabi Wallet and CoinJoin. And let's go directly to the tweet here. This is Zach XBT. Five wallets that were attributed to Quadriga CTX unexpectedly moved 104 Bitcoin. And 69 of those were sent to Wasabi on December 17th. All nice. The receipts are here. All the transactions are here. All of the identification of these wallets is here. And I love Jameson Lopp's comments here. It's alive. So we could speculate all day on exactly what's happening here and how these coins were able to move. this guy who said he died of Crohn's disease in India, not actually die, faked his own death. Did his widow have access to it and is now taking advantage of the situation? Did he have an unnamed accomplice who was taking over, and taking the opportunity to monetize his assets? Was he hacked? I mean, in the end, does it really matter? Something really devious happened here because people are trusting the fiat mentality. People are trusting this this old school fiat custodian system when they should be trusting their own self-sovereignty. They should be trusting themselves to keep these assets. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but I wanted to draw the parallel here to Sam Bankman-Fried. So you probably heard about how Sam Bankman-Fried had this penthouse. It was filled with, it looked like a dorm after students left for their break. The dishwasher was full. Towels were piled in the laundry room. Halloween party decorations up. If we go back to the reporting that was happening about Quadriga at that time, same thing, kind of a shady operation, looked a little hollow, kind of outside of the business norms, but, you know, had that sort of Zuckerberg with a hoodie vibe. Like, everyone sort of understood it. Everyone thought, oh, maybe he was just this trendy tech mind. But obviously this didn't turn out for Sam Bankman-Fried. So Sam Bankman-Fried committed one of the largest financial frauds in history. Federal regulators say that just a month after founding FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, unbeknownst to all but a small circle of insiders, was leveraging customer assets. Sounds really familiar, specifically customers' personal deposits for Alameda's own bets. And Bankman-Fried was at the heart of it and the driver of one of the biggest financial frauds in American history. This cycle keeps repeating itself. We keep trusting these people who aren't worthy of our trust, who we don't need, because we're in this legacy mindset. We think, oh, we have to do things that we have to keep our stocks on an exchange. We have to trust our banker to keep things safe. We put our funds in the hands of people who, given enough time, given enough different incarnation, will eventually break your trust. And now, how do we take this going forward? How do we look at all these failures, all these frauds, all these charlatans who've stolen people's money by preying on the idea that you need a custodian for your Bitcoin, for your sovereign currency? Well, people are still using these custodians. We look at Binance right now. They've seen record outflows of $6 billion over the last 72 hours when this article was published. A Reuters analysis of Binance's corporate finances showed that at the core of the business, the giant Binance.com exchange had processed trades of over $22 trillion this year. This dwarfs Mt. Gox, this dwarfs Quadriga, this dwarfs anything we've seen before. There is limited oversight of these organizations. There's almost no oversight, and they control a significant portion of the market. And here's what I want to get to here. I've mentioned the fiat mindset here. It makes sense when you're dealing with stocks and bonds. What happens in the legacy financial system if someone steals a stock from you? What happens? Anyway, seriously, I'm asking you guys, what happens? If someone stole a stock from your Fidelity account, Opti, what would happen?
It would be insured, right? And you'd probably get it back, I'm guessing.
Well, if not insured, you could go to the court.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And say, I want my stock back. I'm the rightful owner of it. Here is the evidence of that. Here is why I'm the rightful owner. And the court would say, yeah, that's your stock. Let's give it to you. But Bitcoin doesn't work that way. Bitcoin is final settlement. Courts are unable to change the blockchain. Even if they wanted to, they couldn't do it. Courts can't award rightful possession of a final settlement item that's recorded on a distributed ledger. It just doesn't work that way. But we're still thinking that way. We're still thinking that custodians are good for us. We still think BlockFi and Binance and Celsius and God, I'm missing a couple of them, are good places to store your Bitcoin. Well, not us, but you know, some people are. We need to get ourselves out of that mindset. The financial sovereignty that comes with Bitcoin is a double-edged sword. It's not just all benefit. There's some risk here. No one can fuck with your properly self-custodied Bitcoin, but no one can help you if it is stolen, lost because of incompetence, or swindled away. In the words of Stan Lee from the Immortal Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Stop delegating that power to other people. That's not how Bitcoin was designed. That's not how it's supposed to work. And if you use it how it's supposed to work, you will be safe from all these frauds and swindles. And I want to end with one last thing here that comes straight from the source of truth, straight from the genesis of Bitcoin. If we go back to the white paper here, first paragraph. Commerce on the internet has come to rely almost exclusively on financial institutions serving as trusted third parties to process electronic payments. While the system works well enough for most transactions, it still suffers from the inherent weaknesses of a trust-based model. Completely non-reversible transactions are not really possible since financial institutions cannot avoid mediating disputes. What is needed here is an electronic payment system based on cryptographic proof instead of trust, allowing any two parties to transact directly with each other without the need of a trusted third party. That is how Bitcoin is designed to work. That was in the opening statement of Bitcoin, and that is how you should be using Bitcoin.
Absolutely thorough breakdown, Paul. Love it. Love it. I think this is a message that more people need to hear. But Tatum, I saw that you tried to chime in a little while ago. So what's your thoughts on this? And then I'll put a bow on this and we'll move into the memes.
So what I was trying to say earlier, I am legally obligated anytime I hear the number 69 to say nice. Sorry. but straight up, at the beginning when you were explaining like how it all worked, like SBF saw this guy and was like, man, this MF is spitting. Like I like what he's got. I'm a cook back up what he did.
But it's like a blueprint he followed, right?
Seriously. But also like you see that and then you see that he died. I like this predated me, but seeing everything that you just pointed out, like I wouldn't have believed that he died. So it's very interesting to see what happens from this. I would also recommend y'all go look at Zach XBT. He's insane with tracking down scammers and exposing them. But weird stuff. Hey guys, just hold your own keys. Like it's not that hard. If you can't take that much responsibility, I'm sorry to say you might not be ready. It's not that hard, guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember when this story came out and it felt fishy back then. You know, I'll just leave it at that. But we tell you guys every single day on this show, like, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Exchanges are not wallets. And while we have all these examples this year of explosions, of people giving up their Bitcoin and not learning their lessons, this isn't a new phenomenon. And as much as we hope that people learn their lesson and we won't repeat these processes, I am almost positive we're going to see even bigger explosions by even more legitimate, coin custody businesses. But we have seen the silver lining this year, and people are taking their Bitcoin into self-custody, and the gap and the divide between Bitcoin and shitcoins and Bitcoin and exchanges and Bitcoin and lending platforms is growing. So there is a silver lining that people are taking their self-custody. Will people remember this stuff? I hope so, but, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath. You know, it's very fishy, and I see people in the chat saying, man, this is just a standard playbook. If this guy is if this guy isn't dead, then this is very interesting stuff going on right now. This is like the ultimate boating accident, but with your funds. So make sure you keep your Bitcoin into self-custody. This is how you can avoid this. Anyways, let's get into the meme review, guys, because this is everyone's favorite section. Actually, hold on. I'm going to give you some horns, Paul, for such a thorough breakdown of that news story. Let's get into
bars, brother. Thank you.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
All right, guys, so I say it every single day, and you already know what I'm about to say. Tweets are the bullets and memes are the artillery. We are in an information war, so continue to get that information out there. Continue to ridicule the monetary demons. Continue to make the funnies and get the truth out there any way possible so that people understand why we do what we do. And, of course, drop your meme review chat or score in the chat so that we can cover it towards the end. Anyways, this first one, I'm almost positive this is not Bitcoin Magazine's meme themselves, but I think it is a fitting time to relay this message on the show. And it is us, the lowly Bitcoiner, the lonely Bitcoiner, sorry, and everyone else, the crowds, the wisdom of the crowds out there going, Bitcoin will never recover from this crash. And then there's Bitcoiners. Yes, you are all wrong. Bitcoin always recovers, and we will see number go back up. This next one, shouts out to our buddy RDBTC, and this is kind of fitting considering what Paul just covered. And this is Homer sleeping like a baby, and he goes, how I sleep knowing another shitcoin casino could blow up anytime. Not your keys, not your coin. Take your Bitcoin into self-custody, and you can sit back and eat popcorn and watch the fireworks like all of us. This next one, shouts out to our buddy Morpheus BTC. He continuously tags us on these fire memes. And of course, I'm the cliche Bitcoiner that continuously references the Matrix. And we got Morpheus. He goes, the fiat matrix is everywhere. And you can feel it when you look out your window, when you go to work, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth that you are an economic slave. And then Neo goes, how do I become free? You take the orange pill, and I'll show you how deep the Bitcoin rabbit hole really goes. There is no bottom to the rabbit hole, and all of us know that there is just safe places that we like to hole up. This next one, shout out to my buddy Wine. I think we kind of messages or a hint on this in the culture. This is a funny one considering that I feel his pain. He goes, you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. And then it's a picture of a crying cat with thumbs up going, my DCA over the last 2 years. Yes, no one escapes the pain. This is what it means to be a Bitcoiner. You earn your stripes through the hodl. This other one is by Maxi's Club. Shouts out to Maxi's Club. I love this format, dude. Keep making them. We got a Pepe the Frog, at work, business-like, looking up stuff on his computer. And it goes 8:10. He Googles, where does the government get the money it spends? 8:25. He Googles, where can I buy Bitcoin? Once you understand where the money comes from, you will never be the same. And this is kind of what we touched on in the culture as well. People do not understand money. And this is kind of what we all do every single day is explain to people there is a better money and it's called Bitcoin. This next meme is by our friend 21JCLP. And he goes, Bitcoin, not crypto. We got this NPC that is dying. He's a shitcoiner. And this goes, hashtag, thank a Maxi. And he goes, crypto ruined my life completely. Do you have any advice for me? And we got a Chad Bitcoiner. And he goes, yes, buy Bitcoin, hold your own keys, ignore the market price, stop gambling on garbage, get rid of leverage, work, stack regularly, prepare for a financial collapse, take care of your family, and use any extra time to learn the new Bitcoin tools and services. This is the way. This is the blueprint. This is how you will survive the monetary reset that we are going to. And then this last one, shouts out to Crypto Bastardo. I love this one. I know most of you guys on Twitter were watching the World Cup, and this is one that I think that's going to hit the normies out there. He just goes, hashtag Bitcoin, and we got Lionel Messi in bed with his World Cup. World Cup. I don't even know what you call this. The trophy, World Cup trophy. And he's hodling it. He's hugging it asleep. And it's me with my Bitcoin. It should say me with my Bitcoin in cold storage. But yes.
Is it World Cup Cup? I don't know.
World Cup Cup. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Probably. All right. As you guys know, I am in my parents' kitchen dining table. So my meme review score today is this Christmas flower ornament that is on the table right now because I have literally taken over their kitchen. Anyways, Paul, what is your meme review score?
Yeah, so my meme review score is going to be this R Bitcoin mug that says Magic Internet Money and join us. This is before Reddit was a steaming pile of garbage, which it is today. But at the time, it was a great, great resource for information on Bitcoin. And I love the low effort in this paint image here. It's just it's so bad, it's good.
It's so bad, it's good. All right, what's your meme review score?
I think I have to. I just looking around. I think it's got to be one black ASIC grill is what I got.
Let's go. Solid score. All right, guys. As we wait for the meme review scores to hit the chat, shouts out to our clothing sponsor, Represent LTD. We wear the hoodies every single day. Hold on. Look at Paul. Look at he's just like our male model over here. He's got the Represent Simply Bitcoin hat. He's got the Dropping Bombs hoodie. These are actually sold out now, guys. I don't think they're going to make them yet, but you can get it in t-shirt form if you like it. Definitely go support our boys over at Represent. Get yourself a hat. Get yourself some merch. And support the boys because we are here, you know, OPSEC be damned. We're wearing the merch every single day now. It is what it is. Anyways, we got a few scores in the chat already. So let me scroll up a little bit. All right. First one is by Hammersaw and he goes, I give this meme a bag of tangerines. Let's go. Okay. The next one is by HODLcoin. He goes, I give those memes overnight Indian food. Trust me. Savage. This next one, shouts out to my boy. Opti's infatuation with sexy male British accents. I can't wait for the new handle, bro. And he goes, score, a bear market so bad that even zombies are selling your Bitcoin. Also, pigeons gay. Okay, I think that's a shot.
That's not true.
No, okay. Anyways, let's see. Bitcoin for Canadians. I give those memes a set of tangled Christmas lights. Nice. That's a good one. Lucas Almost, he goes, my meme review score is peace on earth. Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, man. Can only hope by everyone getting on the Bitcoin standard. This next one. Nope, not today. I give those memes a World Cup cup. Yes. Okay. It is World Cup cup. Thank you very much.
It's official now. Yeah.
It's official now. This next one, Bitcoin Becca, I give those memes a batch of freshly baked Christmas cookies. Let's go. Absolutely delicious. Okay, there's a few more here. Anyrug, memes, Gorilla Glue, extra large bottle. I am pretty sure you've given that score before, but we'll let it slide. Diogenes the Great, I give those memes two awesome guests and an overly optimistic host. Okay. This next one by JMDP, self-custody your Bitcoin. This is a message we endorse. Self-custody your Bitcoin. There are no other options. All right, guys. So this last segment, let's get into the websites by plebs or plebsites or websites by Bitcoiners. So let's go.
Plebsites.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, guys, today's website by plebs is actually Tatum's YouTube. So, Tatum, you want to show this, and we will give the people some sauce out here. Tatum, turn up on YouTube. Go support the boys. We say it every single time. Don't just spread our content. Bitcoin only content needs to be spread far and wide. And we support all content creators out here doing the same mission. So Tatum, give the people, what are you doing over here so that we give them a little bit of the sauce and give them a little teaser?
Yeah. So I'm the host of Between Two ASICs. It's a talk show modeled after Between Two Ferns, but with, Bitcoiners. Ignore the first guest. I kind of got into it because I thought about how, like, we listen to podcasts, we share podcasts, and let's be honest with ourselves, guys. Like, oh yeah, you can see some of my old stuff too. Also, I left my Mighty Beans collection up there, from when I was like 10 years old. Had a bunch of people from Singapore offering to.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
Notice the comments are turned off on that video for good reason. But like, if we're being honest with ourselves, podcasts, they sometimes start to sound the same. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna spice things up a little bit. So I got in touch with some people, started a crowdfunding on Geyser, and just started sending DMs and emails. And first episode was Pomp, sorry. But you know, I mean, it was what I had. But so far we've had Pomp, Peter, Ben, BTC Sessions, and then tomorrow we're releasing our fourth episode with Neil Jacobs, and we have plenty more in the pipeline. Fun story, Corey actually blocked me after he said that he would come on, and then he figured out that Pomp was my first guest, but he since unblocked me, and we've made up.
Let's go.
But yeah, integrity, I just want to have like some fun with it and try to you know, keep everyone on their toes, especially through the bear market.
See, I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about how you got to find the right, you got to find your crack, right? You got to get in the crack. That's going to come back to haunt me. But, you know, using humor, using something other than the standard podcast forum to get people engaged, I think is a really great way to do it. I'm really happy with what you're doing here. So keep it up, man.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, man, this is something that we try to do ourselves, man. Like, we try to give people the signal, but we also realize that we are entertaining people. We are in the war to win people's hearts and minds. So kudos to you, bro. Continue on the mission and find ways to entertain people. And I know everyone's gonna make a point, bro. You are not wearing the vest, but hey, we'll let it slide. You told us why. Next time you come on, we will need the vest on the show. But anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, go check us out on our audio only platforms. We are on Anchor, we're on Spotify, we are on Apple. I literally think we're on all of the podcasting apps out there, but we are a part of the value for value economy, and you can stream us sats. I will read the comments on Friday. And man, this is our show. First and foremost, shouts out to Paul. We threw him to the wolves. He's resurrected like a phoenix, and we will bring him back occasionally whenever not only we need a fill-in guest, because he does have great sats and tidbits to the conversation. He is a lawyer. He's overly qualified, ex-lawyer, overly qualified to be doing this, but this is why we got him on the
recovering
show.
Recovering lawyer.
Oh, yeah, recovering lawyer. Exactly, exactly. And then, of course, Tatum, man, we appreciate it. Nico put in a little spice today. He's like, yeah, we're gonna cause some chaos. Didn't tell you guys. We have a guest. Enjoy.
He literally let me know at 11 o'clock last night too, so I was a little more prepared.
Let's go. All right, well, I'm gonna take you in the background, so just stick around for a moment while I roll this one out for everyone and we wrap this show up today, guys. Appreciate it. We made it through. I'm still in my mother's kitchen. You know, we gave you guys the sauce today. I really appreciate everyone that supports the show, that trolls us in the chat. Like, subscribe, share our content, get the info out there far and wide, because the people need to know that Bitcoin is the way. And we are just doing our part, orange pilling the world. So hang out with us afterwards. I am going to host the Twitter Spaces. If you guys want to have the conversation continue, join us on Twitter. If not, we'll see you tomorrow. Nico will be back, and we'll do the show like normal. Anyways, peace out, guys. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.